Copples Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Copples Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Welcome again to the Worcester Reports. This is Tony. Laurie Ann's not going to be with us today. I have some sad news. She was diagnosed with breast cancer about a month ago, and she has started chemo, and it's knocked her off her perch a little bit. So although she's continuing with some of her ministries, it just wasn't possible for her to record a Ways to Grow in God today. I'm hoping that she'll be back next week, and we invite your prayers for her recovery. She seems to be doing reasonably well, but it's tough and it's very painful for her at the moment. So I have the show in my own hands today, and I'm going to start, as usual, with our interview. There's a new Christian bookshop in town. It's in Mountain Mill Mall, and I walk past it many times a week, usually on my way to Pick and Pay and Dis-Chem. And you can't miss it. It's called Olive Tree Christian Bookstore. So I love Christian bookstores, and I just wanted to talk to the people who had brought it here and to find out how things are going and just discover a little bit about them. So I'm going to introduce you to Hunter Horn and Elzahn Schwartz.
In the Olive Tree Christian Bookstore. And in Afrikaans, I guess that's Christelike Boekwinkel. I don't know if that
yes,
works for you.
That's correct.
And I'm here with the proprietors, that's mother and daughter. And mother is Hunter, and daughter is Elzahn.
Hello,
yes. Okay, hello. I'm still learning my Afrikaans. Welcome to CWCP Radio, both of you.
Thank you.
And it's possible that the listeners can hear. We're in a working environment here. There's music going on, and you never know. We might have a customer. Actually, yes. Probably not, because we're after hours now.
Yeah.
I want to start by saying that I gauge a town by the number of Christian bookstores there are. If I'm in a town with no Christian bookstores, you know, I feel something's missing here.
Yeah.
It's like if I go into a house and it doesn't have a piano.
Okay.
I think, oh,
yeah.
I'm not sure I could live here. So I want to first welcome you to Worcester, because you've only been operating this store, I believe, for about 4 months.
Yes.
When was the opening day?
On the 24th of May we started. We had our opening day. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that was exciting for you, but yeah. I think it should have been exciting for Worcester.
Yes, we were really excited. Yeah, we're not ready, but we had to open the doors because the customers were queuing in front of the doors. So,
well, that's good.
Yes, yeah, very good.
Yeah. Now, are you a franchise or are you independent?
No, we're totally independent. Yeah. Yes, no franchise. Yeah. No franchise, yeah.
And do you come from a long line of running Christian bookstores?
No, we don't. This is just something that the Lord placed on my mom's heart that we must open here in Worcester. So no, we never had a bookstore before.
What kind of business experience did you have?
My mom, I'm coming from short-term insurance background, and my mom had a holiday school. Yes, a holiday school with 90 children. Yes.
I have a feeling that you're both very busy people, and you really get into things. You don't sit around, do you?
No, yes, if we decide to do something, we go full, and we take the opportunity and we go for it. So yes, we are very busy. Yes.
Let's start with something topical. The movie Overcomer is running in New Metro Cinema, which is just a few minutes walk from where we are now.
Yes,
I believe you had something to do with the fact that that film is running here.
Yes.
Tell us.
Yeah, it's a Christian movie. I hope all of you are aware of the movie, and Christian Art provided the books and the CD and all the material around Overcomer, and then they said the movie is going to be released. And sadly, our new metro and our mall didn't say no, it was not on the list. And we are very proud to say that the management of the mall said no, we must show this movie. So yes, so the movie showing, we were there on the opening day of the movie with all the stuff, the products surrounding the Overcomer book, CDs, Bible study, and yes, so that is ons deeltjie daarin.
I'm going to put you on the spot, Elsa. When I first came into this store, I asked you about another movie. I asked you if you had it.
Yes.
Do you remember which one it was?
I still don't have it.
It's Unplanned.
Unplanned, yes.
Which has been a sensation in many countries.
Yes.
And countries have banned this film because it's an anti-abortion film.
Mm.
But I'm here to tell you that South Africa is going to have that film.
Mm. No,
it's
definitely.
It's been approved here.
Wonderful, yes. Wonderful. Oh,
so that's your next project.
Yes, we're going to make a huge thing.
Here in our cinema.
Yeah. Right? Okay, wonderful. We're also going to make a huge thing around that movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Okay. I love talking to entrepreneurs because I always love to say, how did this whole thing get started? What was the dream? Tell us how it just happened.
Mama, do you want to say? Okay. We started in Q Square in Midtown here in Worcester. And my mom and dad went on a typical shopping day to the square, yes. And they went to Spar and they did the stuff. And when they wanted to leave, my mom saw the empty new shop that they advertised. And she just felt in her heart that she must go there. And she went to the shop and she stood there and she said, but we must have the shop before somebody take it. And she asked the security people, where's the management? And they refer her to the office. And yeah, long story, keeping short. When she stood in front of the management, that she said, we're going to open a Christian bookshop. So we never planned that. We never planned opening that. It's just something that the Lord placed on my mom's heart that moment at that time. Yeah. Yes, and that is where we started.
And you just found
Elsa. Yeah. My mom found me and said, are you in? And
are you ready
yes.
for a new bookshop?
Yeah, yeah. So yes,
have mother and daughter worked together before?
Yes, we did. Wow. At the holiday school in Polokwane, it's our hometown. We worked together in the at the holiday school. Mm. So yes, we are working together.
So you started in Q Square, but now you're in Mountain Mill Mall.
Yes.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yes, do you want to say? Yes, the Lord's knows what is good for you, and you must always obey the Lord's time, because you want great things, but there's a reason why we only started there. When we started, we had little stock, we were still getting into things, the stock keep on coming in, and our shop was too small. And just one day my dad somebody told my dad that they want to open a Kum Books, and we said, but no, what about us? So yes, and so we came to the mall and we talked to the management, and Yeah, that is where Olive Tree Christelijke Boekwinkel started in the mall. But it's only the God's time because we couldn't start here from beginning because we were not ready for this corporate in a mall. So that is why we only, and the people of Q Square, they were so good to us. They help us to grow. And yeah, that's the reason, yeah. We must have started there. Otherwise, if we started here from the beginning, it wouldn't be working out.
I understand.
Yes.
So if you were just a furniture store or, a technical store, this next question wouldn't be necessary. But you're not. You're a Christian bookstore. What is your vision for this store going forward? Because I have a feeling it's not just to sell books and music. No. What is your vision?
Yes. Our mission is to spread the word of God. So I think we are in a position now that so many people come now for uitreike on farms. I don't know what you call uitreike on farms and schools and Sunday schools wanting Bibles, wanting books for their Sunday school. So we give them lots of discount. It's a priority of us. Sometimes we make no profit and we just give it to them. So yes, our mission is to spread the word of God. It's not just about income or a book, a store. It's purely spreading the word of God. Yes.
But you also want to be successful financially.
Yes,
I'm
we
sure.
must. We must. We've got a rent to pay, so yes. So we must sell books. Yeah, and we want to survive, but our main priority is spreading the word of God. And if we do that, God will provide for us. Yeah.
That's the equation. It always works.
Yes.
Well, I think that's a wonderful vision because in this town, this size of this town is small enough for you to have an effect on this whole town.
Yes, totally. Mm. And not just the town. I mean, the area is supporting us. Oh, it's wonderful. All around the area, they are supporting us. And we are so thankful to all our supporters here.
Okay, so if people are listening, and what would they, the kind of question they would probably want to ask you is, oh, what do you sell? So tell me the categories of goods that you have available.
We've got the books, presents, and t-shirts, caps. Our main selling product is Bibles. We are so amazed by the total amount of Bibles that we sell. We just sell Bibles and Bibles and Bibles. It's just wonderful. So our main product is books, and then we've got on the site all the presents now, gifts, all the gifts, wonderful gifts with Christian messages on, and yes, Sunday school products.
And music.
Music, CDs, DVDs, yes. DVDs, CDs, yes.
Who chooses which music to have in stock?
No, my mom said me, but we are both doing it. I've got my taste, she's got her taste, and I think the combination that we reach between the two of us is just excellent. Yes, and my husband and the family also help us by saying hi, that you must get that CD or that so it helps us a lot. Yeah, and we listen to our customers. They come in here and say, hi, do you know this one? Then we say no, and oh, thank you for telling us about that one. Yeah.
When you said that you sell all these Bibles, I actually wasn't at all surprised, because you must know that the Bible is the best-selling book in the world, and always has been, and all versions of the Bible.
Yes, yes.
So if they put that in the newspaper, in the top 20 books, they would all be Bibles. There wouldn't be anything else in there.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think you've got a pretty solid product there.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to go out of fashion.
Yes, I have so.
Is there a particular version of the Bible that you find is the biggest seller, the one that people want most? Any particular translation?
Yes, definitely. Here in Worcester, we sell a lot of the 1933 and 1935 and 1938 version, a lot of it. 1983. We sell a lot of those old Bibles and King James, New King James, and New Living Translation. But our old Bibles, the 1933, is our popular seller. Yeah.
When we first came here, my wife spent a lot of time searching for a Bible with Afrikaans on one side and English on the other. Mm. We know it existed because the Gideons put it in hotels.
Yeah.
But we couldn't buy any.
No. Still now, we can't get it, yeah. They just say it's out of stock now, so we are, yeah. Yeah. We hope to get that in our hands soon, yeah.
Now, these days, when people think about buying books, many people, their first thing they think of is Amazon. And I have to admit to you that I buy books on Amazon.
And fine.
Not just books.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've always been happy with their service. Is the online book-selling industry, is that a big competitor for you or not?
Yeah, I must be honest, since we started in Q Square and here in May, I had one person that told me that she's buying online. And she actually stepped in the store and said, she stepped through the store and said, "Oh, I'm anyway buying all of this online." And she left. But this is the one person we really don't. I also buy online. I also buy other books online, I must say. But we don't feel, it doesn't affect us, our opinion at all here. People come in, they want to see a book, they want to have it in their hands before they buy it, they want to read through it. We get people coming in here and read a whole book before they buy it. So online you cannot do that. Yeah, so.
Well, I'm very happy to hear you say that. I really am, because I don't want any kind of competition to come along and mean you would have to leave. I want you to be here forever.
Yeah, yes, for sure.
I think I'm going to add my thoughts on that. People like being in a Christian bookstore. They like the environment. They may come in here, don't be disappointed, not to buy something, but just to be with you and just to breathe the atmosphere.
Yes, of course.
It's just like in my generation, the place that I was really wanted to be in was a record store. Nowadays, you don't find many record stores, but to me, that was paradise. Mm. And just to look at the records and listen to some of them was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have, if I wanted to come in here and play a CD before buying it, do you have a facility?
Yes, we've got a facility for that, yes.
Do you have a top 10 of the Christian music that...
No, we don't have one. That's a good idea that you're giving us now. No, we don't. That's a good idea. We don't have top 10, but I think we will definitely get the top 10 CDs in a queue. Yes, that will help a lot. Yeah.
And how about Afrikaans versus English? Because people here seem to be
Afrikaans.
They have both.
Yes, but Afrikaans, we're selling about 90% Afrikaans here. CDs and music, they listen to any language, it's fine. English and Afrikaans is half-half, but our other materials is purely Afrikaans here.
I can't resist asking you about Willy and the Wengspan. Do you stock his music?
Yes, we love Willy and the Wengspan. Yes, we definitely have his stock, yes. Yeah,
I play some of those songs because I play to children in Adrian Park, and they all know those songs.
Yes,
I don't know where they first learn them. Maybe every school. Yeah. He goes around all the schools.
Yeah, he visits the schools, and he's got a big heart for children. Yeah. We met him ourselves, and he's a wonderful person, and he loves children. And yes, his songs is just all the kids know his songs. Yeah.
I think the one that our kids. The first one they want is rock star. I don't want to be a rock star. No.
I
think what he's done is amazing.
It's amazing.
What he's done for children across this country.
It's wonderful, No, he's just wonderful.
You both seem to have smiles on your faces. Does that mean, Pat, that sales are going reasonably well so far?
Yes, we are very thankful, very, very grateful. We have been here since the 24th of May, and it's really going good, and we give the Lord all the thanks for that. It's nothing that we do, it's just the Lord's hand in our business. And we must give him the glory every day so that he can also hear that, yes.
So, Elsan, what do you do in your spare time?
I'm a mum. So I only work half day and then I go to home, pick up my children, and I do dishes and cook and make, do homework and play soccer on and everything, yeah.
I think you need to tell our listeners the names of your husband and your children.
Yes, my husband is Marius and I've got a wonderful husband, and my children is Mila is my daughter and Matthias is my son. Yes.
I believe Marius is in business somewhere up here. Tell us about his business.
Yes, my husband got his own business. He's having the franchise for All Solar Boland. He's selling sun panels, and he's in the electricity saving business, yes.
And where is his store?
He's working from home. Yes, he's got a big office at home and he's based from home, yes.
So just say again the name of his business. If somebody wants to buy a solar
panel. If you want to buy sun panels, it's All Solar Boland, Marius Swartz.
So Hunter, come on, I want you closer to the microphone. Yes, what do you do in your spare time? Do you have spare time?
My mum is, she's basically 24 hours on duty. She's taking the stress of the business. She's doing the financial, the board.
I'm on my knees.
So she's the chief financial officer.
She's the financial officer.
You're the managing director and the chief marketing.
Yeah,
she told her marketing mom what to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
She said yes and order.
if we must order something, I say no, we don't have money. My mom said we ordered it, the Lord is going to provide, so order all of it. So yes, yeah.
Johanta, you have another daughter. Tell us about her and her name.
Her name is Hestie, and she's lived in Robertson, and she's a sister, medical sister.
Yes.
And and she's married with Peter Schwartz. He's also a pastor in the community. Mm. And they got two girls. And my husband's name is Bart. And he's working for himself. Yeah. Yes.
All right, let's hit you with just a small question. What's the biggest problem in the world?
The biggest problem in the world to me is all the, what is misdaad? What do you call that in English?
I don't know.
All the bad stuff going on that people do to kids. That's my baddest thing in the world. Yeah, yeah. That is a very, very sensitive thing for me, that kids are becoming victims of crime. Yeah, yeah. That's the biggest thing for me. Yeah.
You don't know who are God.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is my biggest.
Yes, yes.
You didn't know him.
Yeah, if you're living a life without him.
Yeah.
It's funny you should say that, because this afternoon, about 2 hours, 2.5 hours ago, I was in Avian Park and I was playing guitar to a bunch of children.
Mm.
And then they were going to do a lesson, Bible study lesson. And it just came to me, I said to these kids, I said, that lesson that you have in your hands, if everybody in the world was doing that lesson, this whole world would be transformed.
Sure.
I was trying to help them to know how important it was that they would be learning about the Bible. And you've just tied in with that. Because the children, I think, are the key to the future.
Absolutely.
And we have to teach the children.
That's
the most important age to teach things, and particularly about our faith.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Do you have children come in here on their own at all?
Yes, we've got lots of children.
You make them welcome.
Yeah, when it's school holiday, we've got a TV here, so we play Willy in the Benspan. We play DVDs loud, so holidays, we've got our children books in front of the shop, and we want the children to come in here. We still want to do colouring competitions, and we want to do something for the kids in this mall. We're just sitting and plan what we're going to do. A free thing for all the kids.
I'm now going to do an advertisement to you, because my wife, Laurie-Anne, is an artist.
Okay.
And she is just about finished creating a colouring book.
Okay.
She has done all the drawings, but before they are coloured, they're going to go into a book in that form.
Okay.
And children love colouring these books.
Yes, wonderful.
So maybe I should put her in touch with you.
Please, yeah, that will be perfect.
You're welcome.
That will be wonderful.
This has been fantastic. I'm so happy that we persevered. We got this meeting to happen.
Yes.
And congratulations on this excellent business. I have a feeling it's going to be very successful, because you have all the right attitudes. And with God on your side, how can you possibly fail?
Yeah. Thank you, thank
you. Just to quote Bob Dylan. But So thank you so much. God bless you both for this wonderful work you're doing.
And thank you that you think we're worth having an interview with you. We appreciate it.
You know, we may go to a church for years, and although we have small talk with other people there, we never really know very much about them unless we dig a little deeper. And often people in that church congregation are hurting. They are hurting physically, maybe some of them are sick, and they may be hurting financially. And it's not something that people like to talk about. But they are your neighbors in the church, and if you dig a little bit, you may find that their main problem is, where is the food going to come from in a few weeks' time when one of them's going to be laid off. An initiative in Canada a few years ago sought to do something about this. It recognized that many people would be a lot better off financially if they understood some aspects of financial planning, if they budgeted, if they managed to spend on the things that are important and not waste money on things that aren't important, and other things like that. So some inspiring people got together and formed something called the Freedom Initiative. The Freedom Initiative has been going quite a few years now, but in its early days, I invited David Van Noppen, one of the founders, to come and be interviewed by me on CKCU Radio in Ottawa. And although this interview is, therefore, you could say it's a little out of date, but we're talking about principles here that don't change over time. So if anyone who's listening is going through tough financial time, you may find this particularly useful. And if your finances are just fine, it may open your eyes to how you may be able to help those people who really need help.
You're listening to Over My Head, and beside me in the studio I have David Van Noppen. David, it's going to be revealed what your credentials and everything are as time goes on, but I'm going to ask you a strange question just so that you can get into the thick of it. What is the situation that gives rise to the need for the initiative that you're heading up, the Freedom Initiative?
Well, nothing like jumping right into it, Tony. The situation is, I won't be alarmist this morning. It's too early in the morning to be alarmist. But, you know, as we think about how we handle money every day, and we listen to culture and the cultural message of buy more, buy bigger, buy stuff, period, it's gotten to a point where it's out of control. Our ability and access to credit in the North American culture has given rise to the abuse of credit. And so the Freedom Initiative is all about setting people, whether within the faith community or without the faith or outside the faith community, free from that desire for more stuff, for bigger stuff, and really to allow them to manage the resources that we have, and so many resources, in a way that brings glory to God, but also in a way that continues to foster freedom as opposed to bondage, which is what our culture is really pushing us to, is more and more debt, more and more stuff. Spend more than you can make in 100 years and let the next generation worry about it.
It does sound on the face of it as if you're single-handedly tackling one of the world's greatest problems. This is ambitious.
I am not alone, Tony. In fact, that's part of our mission and mandate, is to mobilize the church, the Big C Church, to say we have been given a mandate through Scripture by God to set the prisoner free, to allow those who are oppressed to walk in freedom. And all of the answers, all of the answers to the questions around debt and credit are found in Scripture, and Christ talked about that so much when he was here on earth, that we have all the resources, all the teaching we need. We just need to get that message out and really allow it to sink into our own hearts, and then allow that to go out into the nation at large.
So the name that you've given to this initiative is the Freedom Initiative,
mm-hmm.
This enterprise, I was going to say. I want you to tell us now a little bit more detail how this is set up,
mm-hmm.
maybe where the ideas came from, and turn it into something that we can handle in a more practical way.
Sure. Well, one of the mandates that we were given in the Great Commission was to go and make disciples. And that's the core of what the Freedom Initiative is. There is some tons of great information, great education, great curriculum that is out there that is biblically based in how to handle finances and what to do with money and, that tension that we have between serving God and serving money. And the Freedom Initiative, what we've done is simply formalize a process of financial discipleship, where we're saying, let's just take this issue all around money and give people the opportunity for one-on-one, face-to-face, non-judgmental conversations, and more so exercises. Think of it like a coaching experience, or if you want to lose some weight, you go see a coach who will walk you through some exercises that will get you more fit or get you to lose your weight or hit your targets. So we've formalized that around money, and we've simply said our coaches are trained, and the coaches we're looking for, as I put them, are the people in the church. They're the people that we want to mobilize within the church community to say, you've got the information, it's right there in Scripture, let us show you how to apply that, and then teach someone else to apply that one-on-one.
You've mentioned several times this is very much a Scripture-based
mm-hmm.
Concept. If I were skeptical and I were loaded with debt and I was in the congregation, I might say, just a minute, why should I go and talk to these Bible-thumping people? I need to know where my next meal's coming from.
Absolutely. And that's, I mean, again, that goes back to the core of implementation. It's not about, I mean, we need education, absolutely. But wouldn't it be nice to say exactly that? I don't know where my next meal is going to come from, so let's let someone else sit down next to you who says, okay, well, maybe we can move some things around in your current situation. Maybe what you really need to hear is someone say, listen, you need to go get a second job. That's it. Let me help you do that. Let me connect you to some people that maybe can help you with a job search. And as we all know, and maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but having someone to give me a little kick in the pants when I need it, and a little encouragement when I need it, and a little bit, hey, you're doing okay when I need it, is so essential to success.
And I'm sure that one of the problems for people is they just don't want to talk to somebody about it. You know, they hold it in, and it becomes an all-encompassing problem that they can't discuss.
Well, and the other problem, Tony, is that when they do want to discuss it, they'll go to the banks, or they'll go to finance institutions or consolidation companies. Oh. And again, those people aren't bad. They're just misinformed. the bankers and the financial institutions are, their mandate is to get you into debt and keep you there for your entire life, because that's how they make their money, and that's why they exist. Where the church, people in the church, really want to serve you, to see you free from that bondage of money. We all have to use money every day, so let's find out how to use it in a way that brings glory to God.
Well, that's fight and talk.
Oh, you got it.
You're listening to Over My Head, and I have David Van Noppen here in the studio with me, and we're talking about the subject of money in a very broad sort of way, and if you don't have enough of it, in a more specific way. And we've introduced, or he's introduced us to the Freedom Initiative. Now, that's a good marketing name, but I happen to know that this is backed by some pretty solid organizations. Mm-hmm. Who are they?
Well, the Freedom Initiative really comes out of the heart to serve the Big C Church, and that's the foundation that we've put together. We have, it's called the Canadian National Christian Foundation. And we do a lot of work with charities and working with charities to streamline their own finances and to make sure that they're sustainable for the long term. And then we also have a network of financial advisors called Advisors with Purpose, who are Christian financial advisors. And again, our heart is to train them and to teach them and to support them in the work that they do in the financial industry. So that they can implement and those biblical principles into their practices and into the advice that they give to their clients when they are out of debt and have more money than they know what to do with. So,
and your office is right there with One Way Ministries.
That's correct. Yeah, we work out of One Way Ministries as well.
So that sounds like a pretty firm pedestal for you to do your stuff on. If I were a parishioner, let's imagine that I'm a parishioner, I've got myself into difficulties financially, mm-hmm. I'm kind of shy about it, maybe not even telling my wife all the details, right. But I know that if things carry on like this, in two or three months' time, I'm going to be in deep doo-doo.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard something about these people who I can talk to that are in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Take me through sort of step by step the kind of process. What do I do, and the kind of way in which they would handle this situation.
Great. So as we said, there are a number of ways that this can be played out in the church, but I'll just give you an example. So let's take it. You're a parishioner, and you've heard a message, or there's been a course offered in the church which deals with money, and you've taken the initiative to say, you know what, let's go and do that. So you bring your wife along, but when you get done the course, you still haven't really learned to communicate with your wife. You maybe haven't even really opened up the books to anyone else. So you're carrying that burden alone, and you really don't know which way to go forward, even though you've got some education now. And that's where the Freedom Initiative is got its point, and say, wouldn't it be nice to have somebody that you could just meet with one-on-one at maybe one meeting, at maybe 10 meetings, if that's what you need, to help you get moving, implement the things you just learned, and then to have some support afterwards. The car broke down. What do I do now? Here I am. I've just created some stability following these principles that I learned, and now the car's broke down. What do I do? Well, you could ask your wife, for sure, or you could include a third party who would say, well, have you ever thought about this, or have you done this, or have you asked, maybe there's something in the house that you can sell to take care of that. And those persons simply speak the truth in love and give it from a perspective that's outside of sometimes that crisis where you can't quite think straight, and somebody comes and just gives a few suggestions that will guide you along and say, that's what I need to do. And once you commit to it, that person's there as well to say next week or the week after, well, how did that go? Did it work out? You know, we talked about selling something. So did you get it sold, and did you get the car fixed? Yeah, you did. Great. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Encouraged you along in the path that you're making, because debt is we fall into debt relatively easily. But we climb out of debt, and it's a process, and it takes work and communication. And sometimes the coaches, because they're in it all day, will have some strategies and some things that you may not have thought about yourself.
Supposing the coach feels that I need help from a professional, somebody else, how does that work?
Well, again, because the coaches are volunteers, because they receive a certain level of training, they're not selling product. There's a lot of areas where they just can't go in. But they are also resourced. So as a coach, part of the Freedom Initiative, they'll have access to a number of names where they'll say, oh, you need some estate planning advice, because we, in our conversation, that's come up. Well, we're not estate planners, and that is an area where we don't even want to go anywhere near. But there's two or three Christian estate planners that we have access to name. So why don't you go see them? Or, you know, maybe dealing with the debt, we're saying, somebody told me I should go bankrupt, but I don't feel right about that. I don't feel right in my heart about it, but I don't feel right that we're really that bad. How do you know? Where do you go for a really honest assessment? So these coaches will assess you and say, no, you don't need to go bankrupt, and here's another strategy that you could implement. It's up to you. Or they may say, hey, let's connect you up with a trustee so that you can get the right advice. But that's the direction we need to be going. So,
what's happened so far with the Freedom Initiative in this part of the world? I believe there are a couple of churches that have implemented it.
We really are in the beginning launch modes. Really, it was January when we launched our first two centers here in the Ottawa area. One is in North Grenville Community Church out in Kempville, and the other is a little bit farther out of town, actually, in Alexandria. And the Bradalbin Baptist Church has opened a center out there. And again, that both of those churches have just recognized the need in their communities and in their faith communities, as well as in the community at large, and said, we as a church can stand up and have a voice in the area of finance in our own faith community and then in the community at large. And that's the message that they've really just kind of put out there, is to say, we're available, let us speak into your lives and support you, and show you God's way of finance, which is different from what you're getting every day in the messages that are coming across the airwaves and across media and, you know, the stores and the advertising and marketing that happen.
So you've trained people in those two parishes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To be the frontline workers.
That's correct.
The people who people turn to when they don't know who to turn to.
Mm-hmm.
And how's it working out? Is it popular? Is it being used?
I will say that both the centers are overwhelmed. The North Grenville Center is open every second and every fourth Saturday, and that's limited by the number of volunteers and the number of teams that we can do. And we are booked solid, have been booked since the first day they opened their doors. And there is, I think, 3 weeks or 4 weeks out now before we actually have an appointment that we have an opening. So we need more warriors, more financial warriors to aid in that. And the same over in Alexandria. They have had no shortage. In fact, I was just talking to them Thursday and said, we're booked again for the next 2-3 weeks. There's just a huge need. People want to be free. And when the church places itself and says, we're a voice of freedom, people respond.
Oh, so we've established the need. We've established a solution. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to change hats. Instead of being somebody who's suffering from debt, I'm going to be a pastor somewhere in Ottawa, is listening today, hears what's going on, thinks, I'd like to be able to do that in my church.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do?
Well, before we get into that, I'm just going to make one comment. Christians have always been good at recognizing the need. If we go back to education, when there was a need for education, the church stood up and said, let's start schools, let's start educating our people, because that's a way that we can impact culture. When there was medical, churches started hospitals and said, we can meet the need of health in our communities. And so the church has always been there. And if I was speaking to a pastor, I would say, it's your calling to step up and meet the need in the culture around you. And right now, there's a huge need to deal with this financial pressure. The debt crisis is here. People are struggling in your church. They're struggling in our communities with debt, and it is a silent killer. We don't really see the effects of it until it's so far gone that, you know, there's extreme measures that need to be taken to reverse it. And so as a pastor, I encourage you to begin to open the doors and just speak about it from the pulpit, but then come and talk to us and say, okay, what's the next? How do I do financial discipleship? We have designed the process to walk beside you. It's a turnkey process so that you don't have to redesign the wheel. In fact, you don't even have to be involved. Just send me the person that in your church that you think would be the one to champion this, and we'll work with them and allow them to all the resources and tools that they need to get a financial discipleship ministry effective in your church.
So how do pastors get in touch with you, David?
There's any number of ways. David@cncf.ca is my email. I have my phone number, 1-866-580-9319, and it's extension 106, directly to me. Or you can just go to advisorswithpurpose.ca. We've got a link there. And finally, one more place, freedomcan.ca. If you go to freedomcan.ca, that's our website, and you can get all the information you need there.
This is a great enterprise that we're hearing about from you this morning, the Freedom Initiative. Does this run on love, or do you actually have to find money to pay for it?
You know, it's a funny thing when you say it like that. Of course it runs on love, but we do need some money, so it's a both. So, yeah, of course, especially as we're in the launch mode at this point to really allow churches to come on board and to launch. We're looking for the first 2 years worth of funding. So if you're a parishioner who has that ability to give to something that is going to impact our culture, again, freedomcan.ca, we'd love to hear from you on that level as well.
Good. So that's the ask for today.
Absolutely.
And there's a good video out there. You can find it around the place, which reinforces some of the points that David's been making this morning.
My money talks, so what can you hear it saying? My money talks, just like a voice that's praying. My money talks, it speaks volumes loud and clear about what matters most to me. So tell me what you hear. Do you hear a story of a man who can't say no to the latest things the advertising showed? Slaps down his credit card like Trump into the game, hoping it will make things right again. My money talks, so what can you hear it saying? My money talks, just like a voice that's praying. My money talks, it speaks volumes loud and clear about what matters most to me. So tell me what you hear. Do you hear a story of a woman working hard to match that family that she sees across her yard, wondering how to make the payments on her home while she sits there all alone? My money talks, so can you hear it saying? My money talks, just like a voice that's praying. My money talks, it speaks volumes loud and clear about what matters most to me. So tell me what you hear. Talks, so what can you
hear it saying, my money talks just like the voice that's praying. My money talks, it speaks volumes loud and clear about what matters most to me. So tell me what you hear.
Thank you, Brian Moy-Suderman, for your song, which speaks directly to the subject that David Van Noppen and I have been talking about this morning here in the CKCU studio, a whole subject of debt and how people can best deal with that problem when it's creeping up on them and they don't really know who to turn to. The Freedom Initiative is designed precisely for that purpose. So tell people about it. And if your church, if you'd like to get it going in your church, get your pastor, get in touch with David. What's your number again, David?
I'll just give you the website. It's Freedom Can, as in Freedom Canada, or Freedom I Can Be Free. So you take your pick, but freedomcan.ca.
And there's a great video that you should watch on that site. And there you have it, delving into the archives of my broadcasting history. And I was able to reach David and let him know that this was going out, so he may even hear this broadcast. We're going to end with some music. The first one is directly related to money, and it's particularly, I think, the kind of thing that many of our friends here in Avian Park and Rudaville and other townships would relate to, Allo Black's I Need a Dollar. Though, of course, here it's not a dollar, it's a rand. I can't tell you how many young children from the age of about 3 will come up to me and say, one rand. Not that they can buy very much with 1 rand, but obviously their parents have taught them to beg at a very early age. And they are still doing that, by the way, some of them, in adulthood. Then a couple of songs I just happen to like that I have only recently heard. Amy Winehouse and All My Loving, and Kygo and Whitney Houston with a new production by Kygo of her song Higher Love. I hope you enjoy the music. Thank you for listening to the show. We'll be back next week. Spare some prayers for Lorianne, just that she will, over the next week, continue to recover from the chemo. And you have just heard the 70th edition of the Worcester Reports. Wow. God bless you all. Share with you my story. Would you share your dollar with me?
take away my sorrow. Maybe it's inside the bottle. Maybe it's inside the bottle. I had some good old buddies.
Stars above. Without it, life was a wasted time. Look inside your heart and I look inside mine. Things look so bad everywhere. In this whole world, what is fair? We walk the line and try to see.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.